Good morning, everybody. Welcome. Hopefully you're in the right place. This is my little session on prayer journaling. So if you didn't want to hear this, then maybe head out now. All right. Welcome. Thank you for joining me for this breakout session. By God's grace, we will grow in our love for Him and our likeness of Him as a result of our time together this morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Melissa Menzel. I'm married to Matt Menzel, who's a lead pastor at Westside Church. We celebrated our 10th wedding anniversary this past September. Aw, thank you. Woo-woo. And we've been at Westside for 5 years now, just over 5 years. So Psalm 62:8 says, "Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him, for God is our refuge." I'm going to pray for our time together here, so if you could just bow with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this amazing opportunity that we have as sisters in Christ, as women who love you, to come together in this beautiful place and to spend time looking into your word and sharing with one another. Pray that you will speak through me and that you'll give all of us soft hearts to learn from what you want, learn what you want to teach us this weekend. And yeah, I pray that above everything else, Lord, that you would be glorified in this time that we have together. In Jesus' name, amen. So it was probably in my early teen years that I actually started prayer journaling. I am an odd combination of a romanticist and a pragmatist. I love the idea of a diary because, I don't know if you guys found this experience, but in growing up in most books and in movies, a lot of the teenage girls had diaries. It was kind of a thing that you did. Dear diary, today I... dot, dot, dot. On the other hand, I also had a very real relationship with God at a young age. I loved Him, and I love His word more than most kids my age. So it was kind of an oddball. Whenever I sat down to write out my typical teenager girl things, I usually ended up finding myself uninterested in the things that I was supposed to be writing about. That's where the pragmatic side comes out. Usually, I would stop writing about superficial things and eventually start having my mind drift back to God. Then, I suppose that I spent my time filling my head with scripture instead of daydreaming with boys. And so that's where my mind went. Not that I didn't think about boys or anything. Of course I did. There was probably lots of snippets of teenage girl problems throughout my previous journals. But usually it always came back around to God. The problems, the struggles that I was having, I usually ended up just starting to be like, well, I wonder what God thinks about this thing. And I would want Him and pray to Him to shed light on this struggle that I was having. Usually I would try to pore over scripture and find word references that helped to make me understand the situation better. So eventually, instead of having a diary, I ended up having a prayer journal. So I came about this habit by accident. At some point, I realized that I could actually pray longer and more focused if I wrote out my prayers. By my late teens, I had developed the routine of reading my Bible and then reflecting on a specific passage, and then I would write out my prayers and my thoughts. I would try to include my day and the people in my life that I knew. And then a little later, after I had developed this morning rhythm, I actually found out that that was like a thing that people did. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So I've actually been using the discipline of prayer journaling for about the last 15 years, and it's served me really well. So as much as this session is about prayer journaling, it's also about prayer. Because there's really no point in talking about the journaling aspect if we don't first establish our foundation. Although journaling in itself may have some benefits, it can be good to put our thoughts on paper. The grace of it comes from the fact that we're directing our hearts towards God in prayer, that our thoughts and our attentions are towards Him. As the psalm says, that we pour our hearts to Him. not merely just a practice of putting our deepest thoughts, desires, and heartache on paper. The spiritual discipline of prayer is something that both my parents modeled for me extremely well when I was very young. Not only was I very aware of it in their personal walk with God, but they also made it a big part of our daily lives, which I'm extremely thankful for because it made it easier for me to introduce it into my daily life as well. Hopefully, I haven't painted a picture of perfection for you. I was not a perfect child. I'm just as prone to walking by the flesh as everyone else is, but maybe even more so, which is why I found this discipline so helpful, why I wanted to spend so much time in prayer and in the Word. So, and as much as the act of writing out helps my heart and mind stay focused in prayer, using scripture in our prayer is also really helpful. It can be a starting point and a finishing point. Using scripture in our prayer actually helps us to stay more focused on God instead of ourselves, which we can do very easily. So, today I want to cover 5 things. What is prayer? Why we pray, how we must use scripture as our guide, why to prayer journal, and how to prayer journal. I hope that it doesn't sound redundant to you to start off with prayer. Whether we're brand new Christians or you guys have 50 years on me, we could all use a reminder. So, what is prayer? You can yell out answers, please. Otherwise, we'll be really quiet up here. What's prayer? Talking to God. Anybody else? Listening to God. Nice. Thanks, Michelle. Glad you're here. Totally. Yeah. We praise God through our prayers. All right. So I actually have some verses from the Bible for us to tell us what prayer is. So I went around just beforehand and handed out a few cue cards. So whoever has number 1, could you please read it loudly? For us. Thank you.
Genesis 3:8-10. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And the man and the wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man and said to him, "Where are you?" And he said, "I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was afraid.
Thank you. And number 2.
Proverbs 15:29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous.
Number 3. 4. Thank you. Number 5. Thank you. Number 6. Thank you. And there should be one more, number 8.
James 1:5-6.
Oh, I got it wrong.
If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind.
Actually, I think there's one more, yeah. Awesome. Thank you, ladies. So now that we've looked at scripture to inform us on what prayer is, do you guys have any different answers or do you say the same thing? So what do you guys say prayer is after we've heard those? Seriously? Nothing? All right. Fine. It's still early, right? You guys were all out really late last night? I actually kind of thought this group was going to be really small when I planned it to be interactive, but there's quite a few of you here, which is great. Anyway, so simply put, prayer is talking to God, like someone over here said earlier. We were created to have perfect and ceaseless communion with God, as we saw in the Genesis verse that we read. Sin broke that perfect communion, but Jesus repaired it. Because of Jesus, God hears our prayers. We can see in those verses that prayer is a command and a blessing. We communicate with God our needs and our thanks and our praise. I have some quotes on prayer for famous people here. And my first quote, I forgot to say who it's from. So some wise Christian person said, "Prayer is the way we enjoy what Jesus did." Julian of Norwich, which you guys heard from my last talk, who I love, said, "Prayer is the deliberate and persevering action of the soul. It is true and enduring and full of grace. Prayer fastens the soul to God and makes it one with God's will." Charles Spurgeon said, "Prayer is an art which only the Spirit can teach us. He is the giver of all prayer." George Mueller, one of my personal heroes, said, "Only a life of prayer and meditation will render a vessel ready for the Master's use." And famous Mother Teresa said, "My secret is very simple. I pray. Through prayer, I become one in love with Christ. I realize that praying to Him is loving Him." So now that we know what prayer is, we can talk a little bit about how to pray. And there is no better place to learn about how to pray than with Jesus' own words on the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 6, 5-9. I'll read it for you. If you want, you can turn to it in your Bibles and read along, although you'll know if I make a mistake. "And when we pray, we must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard by their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Pray like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." So how do we pray? We pray to our Father. We pray in faith, knowing that because of Jesus, He hears us. We pray according to His will. We pray our hearts. We ask Him for our needs and give Him thanks for the things that He has done for us. We don't have to be formal. We pray consistently. We pray expectantly. We pray knowing that through prayer, God actually changes us. And most importantly, we pray the Word. All right, so why and how we use Scripture in our prayer journaling. Praying through Scripture is one thing, and it is a very good thing. My lovely friend Kiera is actually doing a breakout session on it right now, which you're not at. But I think it's probably being recorded, so you can hear it later. It's really awesome. Again, this may seem redundant to you to talk about praying through Scripture, but it's so important that we use Scripture as a guide to our prayer life. No matter what type of prayer we're giving ourselves to, we know that we can pray according to God's will if we know His will. But how do we know His will? We know His will through His Word. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, to joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart." Now you'll have to bear with me for a second. I love the word. I love it. Don't you? I love it so much that I actually get giddy when I talk about it. I can go on and on. Christina, who's in my community group, probably knows. I get a little bit gushy when I start talking about the word of God. It's such an incredible gift that we've been given. Jesus is the word. John 1, 1 to 3 says, "In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things that were made through him and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was light, the light of man." So, if we love Jesus, we will love the word. Later on, in the same book of the Bible, John, Peter says to Jesus, "Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life." Not only does Jesus have the words of eternal life, but Jesus is the word of eternal life. Okay, thanks for bearing with me on that one. But all that is to say that the best possible way to keep our hearts and minds focused on God when we are praying and not self-focused during prayer journaling is to make sure that we keep in mind the words of life while we're prayer writing. You might think, okay, let's get to the practical stuff now. But we really have to build our foundation. If we don't have that, then we will have the tendency to turn into teenage girls. We'll start rambling on about our woes and trials in our lives. We will turn into people who are very inwardly focused. And instead of our journaling becoming a discipline that is actually helpful, it becomes an opportunity for us to talk about and complain about how tired we are, how busy we are, how lonely we are, how frustrated we are with our husbands, our children, our coworkers, our family members. If we don't start off with the right foundation, then essentially it will be a useless tool in our sanctification. On the other hand, if we start off with a structure that is completely God-centric, then our prayer journaling can become a delight and a relief and a way to grow in our love for God and be transformed into the image of Christ. As I mentioned before, prayer journaling has been a part of my life since I was very young. This will be a little repetition for some of you guys who already heard this story. Never did it become more important to me than in November 2008. Matt, my husband, had been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease when he was 18 called ulcerative colitis. We had just been married for over a year, and his health had been seriously in decline over the past 4 months before that. I won't go into the graphic details, but it was affecting everything, and it was awful. As men are, he's very stubborn, and he refused to go to the hospital. No matter how much I begged him, he was pretty sure that they couldn't help him. Until one Saturday when we were at his parents' house, and he almost collapsed, and he finally said, "I think we should go to the hospital," and I was like, "Thank God." When we got there, by the time he was admitted, he weighed 116 pounds, and he's almost 6 feet tall, so he was quite thin. I actually really remember his spine looked like a dinosaur because he could count all his vertebrae. He was so skinny. I guess he's not quite that tall. His ulcerative colitis was running rampant. He had pneumonia, tuberculosis, which was eating holes in his lungs, and he was so malnourished, the doctors likened him to a prisoner at Auschwitz. He was so anemic that his hemoglobin was at 61 when it should have been around 140 to 180. Anyone here who is a nurse would know that. The doctors say that they didn't know how he actually walked himself in. That's all to say that during that time, my morning devotions and my morning routine became extremely important to me. Although it had always been an important part of my life, sometimes I would lapse in my diligence. But I can very clearly remember during that season waking up every morning, making sure I set my alarm so I got up at the right time, making myself my little French press, my cup of coffee, so I could pour over scripture, pour my heart out to God, and I would pray through my prayer journal. I actually continued to work during the whole time that Matt was in the hospital, which is part of the reason why it was so important for me to get up really early in the morning and spend time with God, setting my heart on him at the beginning of the day so that as the things in the day came about, I was able to stay focused on him and have peace in spite of all the trials that I was going through. It was a crazy time. But God actually blessed me with peace that passed understanding. It was amazing. God is very faithful, even when we are not, but there is such a richness and joy that came in my mornings with him. I found that in journaling, I had the opportunity to express my whole heart to God. Every wrestle, every fear, every heartache. But because my heart was also filled with the word, I would always end up coming back around to his faithfulness. I don't know if you guys noticed that in a lot of the Psalms, right? The psalmist can be like complaining and talking about things that are really hard, but always in the end, their hearts come back to Jesus. They turn back to God and say, but you are good. You are faithful. And so that's what I found in my time with him. So to summarize, it's really, really important to include the scripture, to include the word in our prayer. So now we get to get to the practical stuff. Why prayer journal? Does anybody here already prayer journal? Yeah? Yeah? Cool. And for some of you who came, like, is there any reason, like, what's the reason for you that you came to prayer journal or to this course class? Does anyone have any specific reasons? Yeah?
Awesome. Totally.
Me too. Anybody else have any specific reasons why they decided they wanted to be here? Yeah, nice. Giving yourself a little more motivation. Totally. Awesome. So as I mentioned before, the physical act of writing, like Shelley said, it keeps our hearts and our minds focused on prayer. It is important that we don't just pray this way. But if most of us were honest, we would say that our minds wander when we pray. We find ourselves repeating ourselves. Sometimes we just don't know what to say. When Matt was in the hospital and recovering, and then again, he went in for major surgery later and was in and out of the hospital, and in constant pain, as you can imagine, it was really hard for me. Extremely hard. I was tired all the time. I was constantly weighed down by heartache and concern for him. It's a different kind of agony watching someone that you love be in constant pain, knowing you can't do anything about it.
So you'll need a pen. You can use your Bible or you can use the printed text. Okay. So in Exodus 3, Moses and the burning bush, I think most of you are familiar with that, but it says, the Lord is speaking here, and he says, when the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. It's the same thing. I want you to think of that. When God sees that you come to meet with him, which he initiates that desire in the first place, he speaks. And the place where you or I have our quiet time becomes holy ground. So this is, I know this is not typically what your quiet time would look like. You're not going to have it with 85 other women. But when you come to, you've set aside, you've made a decision, I'm going to set aside a few minutes today to start my day and meet with the Lord. For me, I do that first thing in the morning. When my kids were little, I used to get up before they got up, just so I could set aside time. I generally, at this stage in my life, I spend about an hour to two every morning that I can. I did not start with an hour. I started with probably less than 7 minutes. I want to encourage you, please don't set yourself up to say, I am going to find an hour to do this, because you will probably, there will be distractions. You will not be able to do it. Just start small. For some of you who have been having a quiet time, and maybe I'm just going to add some other things, suggestions to it, you know, that's fine if you have that. But for in general, just spend a little bit of time to develop the discipline of having a quiet time of meeting with the Lord. And there's lots of ways also to have a quiet time. I'm just sharing how I have one. And for today, I'd just like you to do it my way, if you're okay with that. Okay. So I would basically come to my quiet time with my Bible and my journal, and I would just say a prayer, very short, literally 10 seconds. Lord, I've come today to meet with you. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would just show me what you have for me. Teach me, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. That's it. And so I'm going to ask the same for us. As I said, I generally choose a book to go through. When I was first taught how to have a quiet time, I was told, go to the book of John. And you start from chapter 1, verse 1, and you go right till the end. I highly recommend you start in one of the Gospels. I would recommend either the book of John or Mark. Mark is very to the point, gets on with it. So that's where we start. Reading plans are great. Just don't go to your time and go here. have a plan, and you'll have better chance of success of sticking with it because you know where you're going. Then I underline any verses or words, anything that's particularly meaningful to me. What do I feel the Lord is doing? So we're going to spend, I'm going to break and we're going to do this. Spend 3 minutes, and what I've done, and this is another really good thing if you're in between books or you just don't know or you have very little time. Proverbs has 31 chapters, so it's a great way to go through. So today is November 4th, so I picked Proverbs 4. I printed it out. This is the ESV. If you have your Bible and it's in a different translation, it doesn't matter. But you are going to have to underline and circle and mark. So if you can't do that in your Bible, but you should, if you can't, then use the handout. And so I'm going to set a timer, and for 3 minutes, just read through this, underline anything that comes to mind. Let's go.
God, you planned each day before the world was created. I feel endlessly constrained by time. Just one more evidence of a fallen world. I was created for eternity. Why do I constantly feel constrained by time? That there is never enough of it. Is this yet another result of the fall, the world that we live in? I was created for eternity. I think maybe my spirit longs to be free from the bondage that the ticking clock and passing days bring. If God created me to spend eternity with him, maybe that's why my inner self thrashes against the constraints of time that are placed on me. Lord, help me to use the time you've given.
Okay, so now we're going to move on to respond in writing to the verse you chose. So what this section is about is how I would respond. So I'd write out the verse. This is what I feel the Lord is speaking to me. And then I'm doing that in my journal. I highly recommend that this is what you do, that you get a journal. I mean, for today, if you have one with you, you can do that or do it on the piece of paper. But this, I mean, I have many, many journals that I've, and I've told my husband they are not to survive me. Because it's a very personal book, and it's my time with the Lord. A lot of people get frustrated with writing. I am not a very good writer, but I'm not writing a blog. I'm not writing a 3-point sermon. I am responding to God. My quiet time is like a conversation. God speaks, and I respond. And so this is this is where I take probably the longest. I'm only going to give you a couple minutes to do it. But on the back of the sheet, you'll see, hang on, I've got to grab one. You'll see I've written there basically what meditation is about. Meditation is to ask questions about the truth. Am I living in light of this? What wrong thoughts result in me, not you, when this truth is forgotten, which is a Tim Keller, he asks these questions. Then there's the acronym SPEAK. Is there a sin to avoid, a promise to claim, an example to follow, action to take, knowledge, or knowing God better, his character? You're not trying to look at a verse and go, there's a sin to, you know, as I said, it's you view these questions as stimulation for your meditation, not an assignment. But you're looking at the verse and you're thinking, what is the Lord saying to me? What is standing out? So I've given an example verse at the bottom, which is Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So some of the things I think about, what is this verse saying? And what is the Holy Spirit trying to teach me? And so I look at this and I ask, you know, the questions. If not the Lord, who am I setting before me? Or what am I setting before me? Whatever before me is my focus. It's what I will worship and set my heart on. Another thing I can do is flip the verse around in reverse. And I may say, I translate it differently by saying, I have set my worries before me. Because they are on my mind, I will always live in anxiety. It's really an awful way to look at it, but it helps me understand if I am not setting the Lord before me, I will be shaken. And his promise is, I'm not going to be shaken. So do I claim a promise? So those are the kind of things I want you to think about with the verse that you have chosen. You know, what is the Lord saying to me and how am I going to respond? And I'm just going to give you a couple minutes to do that.
I pray. I can keep looking back to it. It kind of guides my prayer. And I can keep looking back to it as I pray and use that as something to direct me. And that is a great way to pray the will of God, right? If we have his word written on our hearts as we should, then when we're praying, scriptures might actually come to mind as you're writing things out. And I always write those down. And I actually think it's really important to pay attention to them because we know that when we memorize scripture, God uses it, the Holy Spirit, to bring it to mind. And often there can be a reason why he's doing that. So pay attention to that. If you're praying and the scripture comes to mind, note it down and you know, think about it, because it could be the Holy Spirit is directing that to your mind for a specific reason. So the second point, the second element, is thanksgiving. Before, we read Philippians 4. And Philippians 4 is great because it tells us to thank God. It tells us to start off our prayers with thanksgiving. We come to our Heavenly Father not just with our endless lists of wants and needs, but with thanksgiving. Sometimes you may feel like you have to force yourself to be thankful, but I encourage you that even if you don't feel like it, still do it. It's very helpful discipline. We have so many things in our life to be thankful for, and if we're constantly focusing on the things that we want and we need, we're going to be forgetting those things, and we're going to be missing out on the joy that comes from those things. One of the greatest things that we always have to be thankful for is God himself. So you can keep that at the top of your list of things to be thankful for. Our third element is petition, which is to make our needs and wants known to God. I think that this is pretty easy for most of us. I think most of us would say we don't have a problem coming to God with all the things that we want. But if God already knows what we need, then why do we pray? Well, because...
Well, I think you all, I hope you all wrote something down. It's a very personal, quiet time is a personal exercise. It's my time, it's for my intimacy with God. It's very personal. So I thank you for those that shared. One of the things I want you to remember, well, there's lots, but... You know, Jesus himself found it necessary to spend time with the Father. He got up while it was dark, he went, and he got new direction most of the time. It was new direction, it was fresh direction. When you come to your time with the Lord, it's to pour out your heart. It becomes very personal, and like the tears come. I want you to know this book is full, or many of my books. It's just full of praise and tears, promises claimed, promises fulfilled, prayers answered, prayers yet to be answered. But it's my heart's cry to God to know him as I am known by him. And so that is my prayer. It's been my prayer coming into this time. This book arms me. This is my sword. And this one reminds me of my times with him. And so I hope that you'll take away. I mean, we just had 7 minutes over a little bit longer. But I'm sure each one of you had something that you felt the Lord was speaking to you about. And so just build on that. That's my prayer, that you just come to meet with him. You answer his invitation because he says he will meet with you. So thank you for this time. Oh, sorry. I want to leave you with one more thing. Sorry. This is a quote that... I should have probably printed it out for each of you, but if you want it in, you know, to copy it out after, I'll have it here. It's a Lilias Trotter quote. I don't know who she is, but she says, take the very thing in your life, the place of difficulty, outward or inward, and expect God to triumph gloriously in that very spot. Just there, he can bring your soul into blossom. Come to your quiet time, expecting to see God triumph gloriously.
God convicts us of sin in our life, then we really, if that's not a practice that you have, I strongly encourage you in that to take time and just say, God, is there anything in my heart you want to show me? Is there any way that I'm sinning against you? And then actually do something with it when he reveals it to you, because it's also easy to see it and then be like, oh, okay, just go about my day. And that's not what we want either, right? Because those things keep us from our relationship with him. All right, so the fifth element of my personal prayer journaling is intercession. To intercede is to act or interpose in the behalf of someone in difficulty or in trouble, as in pleading or petition. Intercession is when we bring other people's needs before God on their behalf. It is very important to include this as part of your prayer writing. Like using scripture, it keeps us on track. Intercession keeps us from being consumed with ourselves. And of course, if we are growing in the likeness of Christ, then I believe that we'll actually grow in this area as well. We'll want to come to God with other people's needs and wants because we'll grow in our love for them. So yeah, it's really important for us to pray for our family, our friends, our church, our city, our country, and not to sound cheesy, but the whole world. We pray that Jesus will come. We'll pray that he restores all things, right? That's one of the deepest desires that we should have as Christians. We should say in our hearts, come, Lord Jesus, come. Because we see the brokenness in the world around us and we want him to fix it, to redeem it. And it's actually really cool because as Christians, in intercession, we get to emulate Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So it's actually a really amazing gift that we're given. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And later on in Romans 8, it says in verse 34, who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. Hopefully, you guys found that helpful. I just personally think it is really cool that we get the opportunity to intercede for people as Jesus does for us. I think it's really great. But yeah, hopefully this has gotten you excited about prayer journaling and about how it can be a part of your daily devotion time and about how it can be a tool in your sanctification. As a note, you don't have to just like prayer journal in the morning. You can do it anytime. You can do it anywhere. You can take it around with you when you're waiting at the bus stop or in between things. And it is just a really great way to pray. I don't know what time we have till. Does anybody have any questions? Anything that I didn't cover that you would like me to? Yes. Doing prayer journaling specifically. I like to give myself at least 45 minutes from when I like to reverse engineer my day so that I like know like, okay, if I have to be somewhere at a certain time, like go to work at this time, then how much time do I need to get ready? And then how much time do I need to read my Bible and do my devotions and my prayer journaling? So I like to try to like give myself an hour, 45 minutes if I can. So I try to like set my wake-up time so that I can do that first, then get ready and be wherever I need to be or do whatever I need to do. Obviously, for some people who have children or whatever, that looks different. I personally love doing it in the morning because I feel like it sets the tone for the whole day. But of course, different seasons are different for people, right? Not everyone has that ability, or maybe if you work night shift or whatever. But yeah, I don't know how long I actually spend physically journaling, but usually my like devotional time is about 45 minutes. But it can be, you know, as long as you want it to be too, if you have the time for that. But yeah, sometimes I journal for a long time and sometimes I don't. And I don't like to feel, because it's not mandated. It's not a biblically like given thing that we have to do. So you can have freedom in it. You can have, you know, you can sit on your deck, you watch, you know, you do whatever you want to do with it. Because it can be a gift. It's not something that should be, that you should feel constrained by. It should feel freeing and helpful. All right, I'm going to pray us out. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the gift that you've given us in prayer. What an amazing thing that it is that because of Jesus, we can have communion with you. We can come to you before your throne of grace in our time of need and receive grace. What a gift we've been given in prayer. And I pray, Lord, that as much as we know that it's commanded of us that we won't be weighed down by that, but that we can see that it's a beautiful thing that you've blessed us with, that the God who created the universe wants to have relationship with us individually, that you care about our specific needs, our suffering, and our heartache. What an incredible, beautiful thing that is. And so I pray, Lord, for each one of us that we would be diligent in our prayer and that we would be joyful in our prayer and faithful in it, and that you would continue to use it as a tool to shape us and sculpt us. And I pray, Lord, that our time here together will help us all walk more closely with you through prayer journaling, through prayer, through encouraging one another, Lord. Pray that you would be glorified with the rest of the weekend, that you'd keep us safe and warm and yeah, that we would continue to have our hearts open to what you want to teach us this weekend. In Jesus' name, amen.